And welcome to In-Game Chats for Saturday, July 17th, 2021, Season 15, Episode 23. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Wendy.
Hey, she remembered. That's so great. Hey, everybody, if you want to get in touch with us, we're on Discord right now. Go to Discord. Go to our Discord. If you don't know what that is, it's a way for you to chat with us. You can just, you know, without even needing a phone. Although you can do it from your phone. Because it's an app that you can download. But, yeah, you can find our the Discord link on our website. If you go to ingamechat.net, you'll see the Discord link, and you can join in and chat with us. We've got a whole channel there where you can just join in and talk with us live on the air. So you can do it that way, or you can call us if you want to do that. The number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Give us a call, and again, you can go to ingamechat.net. All the links are there. Our Facebook link, our email link, everything is there, even where we're broadcasting right now. If you go to twitch.tv, you can type in In-Game Chat in the search bar and find us, or again, go to our website, click the link, and then you can watch the show while you listen to it as well. So there you go. Plenty of options to get in touch with the show, interact with the show, and just watch the show or listen to it as well. So tons of options there for you. So we're going to do things, well, first off, not too different. Except for when I forget it. I'm not going to do things too different here. What I did want to try and do, though, is I just want to jump into the news, and we'll save the last segment of the show for what we've been playing and what's going to be coming up, if I remember to do that. That's something I don't think we've ever done before. But I think it's going to be something that, because a lot of times we'll get to the end of the show, it's like, well, I didn't cover this or this or this or this. So that's what we want to do, is cover, you know, all the news that happened during the week, which of which there was a lot. There is a ton. And I know what everybody wants to get off there. Well, I don't know. Let me look. Hang on. Let me look. Because I have these sort of in order as to how it kind of came down. And I'm trying to see, because we had, okay, so there was a lot of delays. There was more delays and stuff like that. What was the first big one? Netflix is getting video games. That was a story to talk about, of course. And, well, of course, yeah, it's Steam Deck. That was the big one. That was the big out of the blue. No one expected it. No one saw it. No one knew. I had no idea that they were working on anything like that. Steam does that, or Valve. Valve does that a lot, where here's a product you had no idea was being worked on, or, you know, they're good. It's one of the strangest things. They're very good at keeping those secrets.
Something that didn't leak.
It's tough.
We're so used to leaks happening every other
well,
week.
Because a lot of the times you'll see the leaks come from part manufacturers who are providing, you know, some of the insides of the system. And it's a, you know, it kind of exposes it a little bit. That's how they kind of know, when Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo or, you know, something like that are working on something new, because they'll see, you know, some sort of, I don't know, on a data sheet of some kind or something from one of these makers, NVIDIA, AMD, something like that. They'll see that stuff and say, well, it's probably for something that they're working on. Maybe it is. Maybe they're not. I don't know. In fact, the interesting part is, and it's probably not. I would have to go through and I'd have to read the articles, which I haven't read all of the articles. But the fact that this came out about a week after Nintendo announced their Switch upgrade. Mm-hmm. And I say upgrade in the
because all it was just a screen.
In the thinnest of terms. Yeah. You know?
Just the screen got updated, so that's not much.
It really isn't. It's not much at all. In fact, everything about the new Nintendo Switch, or I say new, whatever, it's the Nintendo OLED. Yeah.
The updated Nintendo Switch.
The Switch OLED. The only difference there is the screen. That is it. You are not getting faster performance. You are not getting better memory. You're not getting in, the guts are still the same as any other machine that you've got. You're just going to get a better looking screen when you go in handheld.
Would it be better to say modified instead of updated?
Kind of. Sure. I mean,
because we just said earlier, update is in the most lightest of terms.
Yeah.
Update, because it's not really an update.
It's just an OLED screen, which is good, but it needs more than that to really be. And one thing we found out there was that it only cost Nintendo $10 more to make that system with the OLED screen.
Mm.
I mean, but given what it is, yeah. the what they're charging for it, which is $50 more, they're paying $10 more, $50 more. They're, you know, what, $40 profit?
Still profit, yeah.
That they're making off of it, maybe, I guess. So yeah, because current Switch models, I think, are $300. The new one's going to be $350. And the only difference is the screen, and it costs them $10 more to make the OLED. So, But here we have the Steam Deck. It was announced on Thursday, and pre-orders went live on Friday. It is basically, it's a portable PC. It is a handheld PC machine, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
Probably something that you could kind of make if you modified, and I mean massively modified, like a Lynx or a Game Gear or something like that. Mm-hmm. But your screen's going to be nasty.
Horrible.
Like, you could probably build one yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there's talk.
Not the Steam Deck, but like a portable, a handheld portable. And I know there's some modders out there who probably have.
Yeah.
Nothing like what the Steam Deck thing is, but I know that they probably have. So anyway, they announced this. There are three different versions of it. I think the first price point is $400, and I think the final price point is like $650 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the only difference being, well, there's a couple of differences actually, but the main difference that you'll notice is the amount of hard drive space on each of them. The other thing to kind of keep aware of if you're looking into this is that the bare bones base minimum Steam Deck does not have an NVMe drive like the other two tiers above it. I don't remember the kind of hard drive that the base has, but that's kind of the difference. So you will get lower space with the base unit. You'll get lower space to store your games, and it will go somewhat slower. I don't exactly know how much slower it would be compared to an NVMe, but that's what the other two have. And that NVMe is just a way to I don't know, it's not marketing, it means something, but it's just a faster, it accesses what's on your hard drive faster, you know? You need something, and it gets it a lot quicker than what it does on the base one. Yeah, it's built by Valve, so it's going to take whatever's in your Steam library. You'll be able to bring that over. Now, so far we've got, you know, some games may work, some games may not work. The way that they've had to do this to kind of, because it's a Linux system running, I think Windows is, or it will be running Windows or something like that. But I want to say it's a Linux system, and they've had to do something to get some of these games to kind of port over to run that way.
Yeah.
And the thing that they came up with is perfectly fine. But if your game has an anti-cheat factor in it, if it has some kind of anti-cheat software linked to the game itself, it will not run currently. This rules out quite a lot of games that are multiplayer or even some sort of sense of multiplayer. Destiny 2 will not run on a Steam Deck currently. The models don't come out until December. The actual units themselves don't ship until December, and they have already said that they're going to be doing a lot of refined works on the software, a lot of tweaks, a lot of things. So as it is right now, no. By the time we get to the end of December, possibly. I don't know. By the time I get around to getting one, maybe. Because, like everybody else, I tried to put in my pre-order, and Steam was not having it. Steam was having a hell of a time yesterday trying to deal with all of those people trying to get in for pre-orders. It was... Oh, gosh, it was not recognizing you putting it into your cart, and then it wasn't recognizing you trying to pay with a card or with PayPal or anything like that. It kept getting errors and errors and errors. After a while, you'd get a little message popping up saying, looks like you've tried to purchase too much in the past hour. Why don't you give it a rest? And it was just... And the reason people were going in there is because a lot like iPhone orders, I don't know if you've ever pre-ordered an iPhone or tried to.
No.
As you sit there and try to pre-order, you can see, as you refresh... You'll see the date of availability stretch out further because this batch is already fulfilled with all these pre-orders. So here's the next batch that comes 2 weeks later. Here's the next batch that comes 2 weeks later. So the one that I pre-ordered is in like quarter two of 2022, maybe quarter three of 2020, Q3 2022. Yeah.
Just say later.
Yeah, but it was $5 to do it to put in a pre-order. So I just, you know, drop $5 down. I don't know that I'll do it. I don't know that I'll stick with it. I'm kind of grateful that I had the situation that I had because it pushed me back. This will mean that plenty of people will have it in their hands by the time that it gets around to me. Mm-hmm. And I can decide then if I want to keep that pre-order or wait for version 2 of the Steam Deck. If there is a version 2. I could probably count on one hand how many things Steam has accomplished in the peripheral department, in the, you know, things outside of software, in the hardware department. I still have a Steam Link. I still have the Steam Owl or whatever that controller was. It looked like an owl. And I still, so I have one of those. And yeah, both of those. Not great. They did not succeed. Or at least they didn't stay around. Mm-hmm. Success, yeah, I don't know. It depends on what they label as success. I have no idea. Steam Link I thought was a neat idea, but it wasn't really that great. Steam Deck is like Steam Link, but now you can just carry your PC games with you instead of having them stream from your PC to your TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I tried to do that, and I got it set up once to stream to the big TV in the bedroom and stuff, but it was so annoying to navigate. Because I had the Steam controller hooked up to it and was trying to use it, and it just put Windows up there, but it was in a wonky resolution because I, you know, one screen is this, and then you're putting it on this big screen here, and the resolution was weird, and I don't know. It wasn't, I had hope for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, Lethal Migraine is right. I'm going to assume that, like with all Steam accessories, it's going to fail. I'm worried that it is. The track record is not great. The hype is really good, but the track record is not great. So it's just right now the hype is great, but let's just see what happens when it releases. I want it to get into more than just reviewers' hands. I want it into the public's hands. I want to see what they're able to do. I especially want to see what they're able to do with it. Is there a way that they can modify the storage space?
I've seen articles that are already saying that it's possible that they can.
It seems likely that that's going to be the case.
The SSD might be modified in there.
But until it's in their hands and they can work with it, I'll kind of hold off on that.
Yeah.
But I like the idea. So, yeah. Reading the chat room here. Let's see. I thought it was expensive until I thought of the vast library and how cheap PC games are in comparison to console. I agree. Matt, who's hanging out in our Discord and is in the chat room. Plus, unlike Switch, I already have a huge library from day one. The $600 one has an anti-glare screen, so there's another difference, by the way. Where does it tell you when your batch will be mailed? It only told me when I put in the pre-order. In other words, when I went to the page to pre-order the device, it says at the bottom when it's going to be available. So when you clicked on that, that's when yours would have been available. Mine, sometime in the middle of next year is when it says mine will be available. Now, as people may cancel those orders and sort of think, that may bump me up to move up closer to it. But again, and I know we've talked about this, and there's even comments on my Steam profile after people saw that I pre-ordered the thing, which I didn't get around to pre-ordering until yesterday afternoon, because I spent most, well, I didn't spend most of it, but I tried a lot during the day when it went live, and I just couldn't do it. And so I left it alone, and then I would come back to it, and it still wouldn't work, and then I completely forgot about it until I got home. And I sat down, I was like, oh yeah, here's Steam. And I clicked on Steam Deck, and I was able to go over there, but by that time, it was way late to do that. Hey, Lethal, I will use this if Destiny is able to be played on it. I will totally use this. There's no chance I wouldn't. But again, we'll see. I don't even know how to look at. It looks uncomfortable to play on. But I'm not sure, you know? This is why. And Matt, if you got in one of the early ones, thanks for the guinea pig. You can feel free to bring that in when you get it, because I'd like to hold one and see how it feels and see how it works and that sort of thing. So I don't know what time you got yours in, Matt. That would be a good indication of around when you might be getting it. I'm not sure when you put in your pre-order. So, I looked at my friend's activity today, yesterday, and it was just pre-ordered Steam Deck. There's a bunch. So that's what it is. It is a portable PC. Now, this article from Kotaku says that Steam Deck is Valve's answer to the Switch, but I really don't think it is. I don't think the Switch has anything to worry about, for one thing. The Switch does what it does with Nintendo games, which you cannot do with a Steam Deck, you know? Steam Deck's cost of entry is much bigger than what it is for a Nintendo Switch. Chances are, because it is PC-based, the audience for Nintendo Switch is not there, you know? I don't think they're impending on it at all. It's just a way. What I do think it is putting, you know, it's putting Steam or Valve mindshare into PC gamers more so than what it may already be, just from all the branding that's going to be all over this thing, and the fact that it's going to remind you every time you probably turn it on and launch it that it is Valve and that this is Steam. But because, again, it's Linux-based, it's PC-based, there are going to be ways around some of that, whether it's just bypassing it altogether so that you don't have any of that, putting your own operating system on there. I believe you can actually download Epic Game Store and put it on there if you want to as well. It's a great idea. I just hope it works in execution. That's all. The system itself looks interesting. Again, I just want to see how that feels. Handhelds can be very difficult to get right, because you sort of have to cater to everybody's hands, you know?
Yeah.
Remember when you had the big Xbox controller and my God, it was huge. And then they had to put in a newer one, or
S. The version, S. Yeah.
Was much more comfortable, something like that to play with.
Your hands were smaller. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you've got a design for all of that in mind. And
if you had the hands of an NBA player, the thing was comfortable in your hands. But for the rest of us, nope, not so much.
And my hand should be fine on this thing. The smaller hands? I don't know. We'll see, though. We'll see. Button placement's kind of strange all the way up there on the top and sort of sliding off the side. And then there's the...
I like the analog stick right next to the D-pad. That's what gets me.
Yeah. Yep. And then there's the...
Everything else like that has been off-centered or moved down or something out of the way. No way if you can accidentally hit one or the other, yeah, depending on which style you play with.
Charging looks like it'll be at the top. There is the there's the touchpads. There's one on each side. Mm-hmm. So you can use your thumb to likely, you know, play something mouse-based.
Yeah. Are those triggers on the top or buttons?
Those are triggers. There's two triggers and there's two bumpers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then under it, there are four other buttons. Mm-hmm. If you've seen on the underside of the machine, there are two buttons at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're holding it like this, right here where your hands go, there are two buttons there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I was looking at the price the scalpers kicked it up to.
Right. If you want one sooner than what is on offer right now, the scalpers have got you covered for a good amount of money to do that with.
So if you got that spare $5,000 lying around, have at it.
Somebody might.
Someone probably does. I mean, why do scalpers do what they do? Because someone's willing to pay that price for it.
It's a Zen 2 plus RDNA 2 powerhouse. Runs the latest AAA games at a very efficient power envelope. Extended play sessions. There's even a dock. Oh, that's right. I forgot. There's even a dock. It's sold separately where you do the Switch thing. You put it in there and then puts it up on your screen for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of awesome, too. So, right. And so, I mean, everything about it seems to be like it's a Switch competitor. But again, I don't think they're going after that audience. I really, really don't. Mm. I just don't think that's the case. I don't think that's their competition. Nintendo has never been, ever since the Wii, I would say, maybe even the GameCube, but probably the Wii, Nintendo is not competing with anybody. You know, they're just doing their thing. So, I would love to say otherwise that maybe this is something like that, but I just can't see it. The audience is completely different. The games are completely different. There are some games you can play on Switch that you can also play on PC, but I don't see this appealing to those people because they're already playing on PC if that's the case. And if not, they don't have a PC to play on, which means they wouldn't have a Steam library, which means this means nothing to them. So that's, I don't know. There's a lot to I guess, see how this goes. But I just don't feel like that's the competition. It'll have a built-in mic for multiplayer, options to alter the graphics settings on games. It's about 2 to 8 hours for battery life, depending on what you're doing. You can play Portal 2 for 4 hours. If you limit it to 30 frames per second, you're going to be playing for 5 to 6 hours. That's interesting. Yeah, battery life could be better. And then there's the current models and the price. $400, $530, and $650. What a weird, staggering tier of prices there.
It's going to be hard to go to 30 frames a second if you use the 60 on your custom rig or whatnot.
The additional fee gives us a clear signal to intent to purchase. Yeah. So, yeah. It's a nifty little neat looking thing. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it because I would like it to succeed. I want it to succeed. If it succeeds, then that means other people will make more of them, or they will work on making more of them better, improving them, that sort of thing. So I really, really hope that this thing succeeds because it'll just get better from here, or somebody will make one. I can't see Epic Games not getting into this. I can't see them looking at this and say, we've got to do this. I just feel like that's what Tim Sweeney would do. They're already doing it. Like, well, there's Steam. Let's give out free games. Steam doesn't give out free games. Every now and again, a developer or publisher or whatever might give some free games away. Mm-hmm. Steam doesn't really give away free games. Epic does, and they spent a lot of money to do that. So why wouldn't they look at that and then just throw money at somebody to build a better one? Mm-hmm. So anyway, Lethal Migraine. So no battery life. Overpriced, useless product. Go buy three of them. He knows me. Never met the guy at all. He knows me. I don't think we met. I think one time he was... No, I don't think that's him. I think one time somebody was at PAX, I think, but didn't want to meet. I'm like, okay. Yeah, the battery life is not the best. So that's it. That's what we know. I kind of want to go to my Steam page and answer those. Although Duke is right there in our Discord, so he could do it. In fact, I tell you what, we're going to go to a break, and then when we come back, I'll answer those real quick, the comments that I got on my Steam profile for this thing. We have music here from a game called Ender Lilies. Ender, E-N-D-E-R, Ender Lilies. It's the main theme from the game. We will be back with more of In-Game Chats right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from New World, which I think is an MMO, but this is the opening for... Or, no, I don't know. It's the opening, and this is... The game's called New World, so there you go. So I went to my Steam profile, and I had three comments. Now I have a fourth comment from Matt, who's in the chat room with us as well. All it says is... I now own a Steam Deck deposit, so Duke Frukum just said, yep. Mazga says, I assume the $5 is refundable. I also assume since I reserved it 3 hours late, that means I'll get to order one 3 years late. That's how the EVGA queue works anyway for graphics card systems, or graphics cards, actually. I only got my 3070 Ti through sheer luck, being able to reserve it in 32 minutes instead of hours. Good luck. I mean, congratulations on that. Matt chimed in, says it's a little over a pound in weight. Battery life depends on the game. More taxing games can run for 2 hours, while 2D pixel games can run for 8 hours. I do enough traveling with work. Having a portable gaming computer would be great. I know the idea of this is fantastic. And I think that's an idea likely that we've kind of always thought of, having some sort of a portable PC type thing. But I'm just curious about how the thing feels, how it feels to hold. The Switch was a weird feeling, and it still is a weird feeling to hold the Switch in a handheld mode, only for the fact that it is just, it's larger than what you're used to.
Wide.
Yeah.
It's a little wide compared to most portables.
That doesn't detract from what it can do or anything like that. It's still okay to use and easy to use handheld. It doesn't bother me. But I'm also not doing a lot of intense type of gaming on the Switch, mm-hmm. either in handheld. Now, I have played like Burnout and stuff on the Switch in handheld mode, and it works out perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Consigliere says, I said it to Matt, I'm going to say it to you. A, how heavy is this thing? Matt replied, it's a little over a pound in weight. B, how long does it hold a charge? And we talked about, oh, he was answering. Okay, I see. Yeah. How long does it hold a charge? And then why? And then C was, why are you doing this? And he says, actually, that one is specific to you. You have a history with handhelds. I'm doing it right now just to get a pre-order in because it's $5 that I can get back if I don't want to do it.
You see my grand statement. It says you have a portable gaming computer. It's called a mobile phone.
And xCloud works quite well. I haven't. Yeah. I've heard. I don't know. I don't know about that, dude. I've heard some people who have used it, the xCloud thing, not have a good run by doing it on an Apple product. First off, I don't have the peripheral devices, I guess you could say, that attach to the phone to make it better to play the phone. You know, like controller, that sort of thing, to make it into a handheld, basically.
Yeah.
Razer's got a really good one. I think Microsoft themselves, or they partnered with somebody, and they have a really good one as well. But I haven't looked into doing that. But I've also heard that the latency is just it's still off on that. It works better on Android, but on iPhone there's a little bit of a latency. And right now it wouldn't help me anyway, especially if I'm trying to game from work. The internet just ain't going to work for that. Our internet here is not good.
It's a shell of itself, actually.
We're on the path to getting it better, but I don't know how long that's going to take. It's the weirdest thing, man.
How long have we been on that path, though? About 3 weeks?
Three or 4 weeks now. Yeah. But it's weird. It's really weird because, I mean, I don't know what it takes. From what I don't think it takes somebody coming out here and it rewiring us or anything like that. I think all they need to do is go into the system and you know, change a couple of digits to where,
the settings are off. Yeah.
To where, okay, this is what you get. That's it. So I don't understand, but yeah. By the time I am able to get this, and I'm speaking both to Consigliere and Lethal Migraine and anybody else that's curious why I'm getting one of these, by the time I'm able to get this, I will have a lot more information about it to make that decision as to whether or not I want it or not. Do I want a portable PC? Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. I have a Switch, and that's great, but I could also bring over so many games that are, especially the indie stuff, that is only that may only be on PC, then go back and forth with.
Papers, Please, Gunpoint, all those good times.
I know. Oh, man, Civilization on that thing would be fun. I have Civilization for the Switch. I don't know. City Skylines would be fun on there. Some of my Sim stuff would be great on there.
I would be concerned really about that battery life, though, because the thing said, depending on what you do.
Battery life's horrible.
When you have to cut all that stuff, all those features off,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I was saying earlier. A lot of players, PC gamers especially, won't like that. I mean, how hard would it be for you to play Destiny on PS4 right now, based on what you've done on PC?
Oh, yeah. But
better performing system.
Oh, yeah. No, it'd be tough. But, again, this thing has those trackpads on there, and that might be interesting to see how that works out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but we'll see. Again, this is not going to hit until December. Maybe we'll have some more information between now and then. And definitely we'll have more information once this gets out into the hands of the public to see, you know, just how well it actually works. I like the dock feature of it, too, even though I know that calls back to the Switch thing, and I know that's also sold separately. So it's another whatever on top of whatever you're paying. But to not only have a portable PC, but a PC anywhere you want, in any room of the house that you'd like, connected to whatever TV. So, yeah, I could take it, you know, back to the bedroom, plop it in and continue playing whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I didn't look at that. Does it have? Well, I don't know. Does it have that whole quick resume type thing where if you stop playing on your desktop, it'll transfer over to your Steam Deck, I guess? I would think it might, or they may integrate that or something. I'm not sure. I haven't really looked at it. Does it support cloud saves? It will support seamless cloud saves between PC and handheld tied to your account. How about mouse and keyboard? The Steam Deck itself comes with touchpads and thumbstick, plus a typical four-face button setup, albeit placed in an awkwardly too high position. That's one of the reasons I was, one of the things I was talking about. There are built-in gyroscopic controls. Can I play Epic Games Store games on this thing? Yes. How much will the Steam Deck cost? When does Steam Deck come out? And how do I get my hands on one? December launch. It says everything you need to know about Steam Deck, but that's not everything you need to know. Does it have... I'm not exactly sure what that feature would be called. Where you stop playing on one machine, you pick back up on the next machine. I'm not sure what that's called. But anyway, that's what we know about Steam Deck and the prices. So there you go. And that was really the big, big news of the week, was that right there. It came out of nowhere on Thursday, just blindsided by it. You know, I saw the tweet drop from Wario about it, and I thought, ooh, something's leaked. Nope, something was announced.
Yeah.
And then I thought... When I saw his tweet about it, I thought, "Oh man, this is leaked, and I bet it's a long way off from getting here." You know, turns out it's December. The more I looked at it, the more I was like, "This is already, basically they've already built it. It's already, you know, it's already out there. They're just going to build more." Okay, so yeah. I'm just, you know, we get some hands on with it and go from there as far as,
and see what the mods do with it.
I know. There's a lot of great potential there, and again, I want it to succeed. I don't want it to fail at all. Steam doesn't have a good track record of keeping their hardware going, but I do want to see this succeed. If not only to see how it improves, you know, how much better they can make it. So, yeah, Kotaku, Valve's answer to Switch. I don't think it is. The Netflix thing that we mentioned. Netflix has hired somebody formerly of EA and Facebook Oculus as vice president of game development. And the story says, the idea is to offer video games on Netflix's streaming platform within the next year. The company doesn't currently plan to charge extra for the content. That's really all we know. That's all we know right now.
Yeah. Nothing that really inspires me to get into gaming through Netflix.
I could probably work. I mean, Game Pass does. Well, you know, it depends. Would you be streaming it or would you be downloading it and only playing as long as you have that subscription or as long as it's there for you to play? Curious. But that's, you know, we'll get more information on that in the months ahead and probably in the next year as well.
Yeah.
Valve, Lethal Migraine says that Steam Deck is only 60 frames per second. And your phone does 120. Hey, that's great. Stick to your phone, man. Not everybody's phone does 120 and not everybody can play on a phone. I know you mentioned something about Apple up ahead, so I'm guessing you don't have an iPhone. Which is not to say that means it's better or worse. I'm just saying that all I've got is an iPhone, and I barely play games on it, or at least games of any significance. Something to kind of idle the time while some stuff processes or loads, sure, but nothing that is concentration heavy type of thing, you know, or is anything that's putting any kind of stress on the phone whatsoever.
Yeah.
Basically, because all I would ever do is download free games. If the game's not free, I'm not paying for it on the phone.
Maybe I tried gaming like once or twice on phone, and it was like I just didn't like the touchscreen aspects of it.
I mean, here I'll show you the game that I most play on this phone, and I'll show you. That's it. It's one of those little brick breaker type of things. That's it.
Breakout.
Yeah, that's it. And you just, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I do that, I let go, and that's it. And yeah. So that's all I do with my phone. Mm-hmm. Not to say that my phone can't do more than that. Sure, it could. I just don't. Because it's my phone. Now, you put the controllers around this thing where you can turn this into more of a gamepad. I could see how I could see how maybe possibly I might do more of that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Makes it a little more versatile with gaming and your options, really. But yeah. Like I said, yeah. If touchscreen is all I've got to work with, it just was a really good experience for me doing it that way. And in the end, it was just like, look, I got a PlayStation 4 that I play mainly on, and if push comes to shove, I can just play it on PC, even though I do that barely. But that's an option I got. I wouldn't really do it. I really want to game on my phone again, so I kind of left it alone after
I've
that.
I've never been much of a gamer on my phone. My iPad, somewhat. Mm-hmm. But even then, it was more just like City Builders or, you know, it wasn't anything that was intense or anything like that. One of the running games or something. Yeah, that would be it.
Yeah.
I didn't do a lot with, I've never done a lot with phone or iPads or tablets, whatever you want to call them. Never really done anything with them. I had a laptop. I never really gamed on a laptop either. Mm. I've really only gamed on like a desktop or a console. And it feels weird to me to game anywhere else. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I game with these, that's fine, but it feels weird for me to take a game that I would normally be playing on a desktop or a console and playing it on my phone.
Yeah.
I never stepped across that barrier for me. It never sort of broke down that, hey, you can game on this too. Sure.
I mean, I've gamed on this laptop that I'm using now. I mean, I have options like a controller.
Matt used to come in with PC. a massive laptop that the fan would turn on and we'd have to leave the room because it was so loud.
Yeah.
But he used to come in with a massive laptop. It was his gaming laptop, and that's what it was until he built, you know, an actual desktop machine. In fact, I think something was wrong with his desktop. That's why he bought the laptop and never went back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, what else did we have going on? Tickets for PAX are still available, which is strange. You can still get, let me look. Let's see. Nope, that's not what I wanted. I want to go to badges. There it is. Badges. Get your badges. The 4-day has sold out, but you can still buy a Friday, Saturday. You can still buy a Friday badge, Saturday badge.
Individual
day badges.
Okay.
Are still available. That hasn't happened in a long time to go this long without them having it. And so that really tells me that people aren't ready to do this again.
Yeah.
I'm still really curious about some of the vendors that are going to be there, some of the people who are going to be setting up and displaying stuff. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if some of these companies would just come out and say, yeah, we'll be there, or we have no plans to be there or something. Mm-hmm. Just to let people know, you know, what they can expect before they make that purchase. Because these are, and I should have clicked on it, but the badges themselves, the 4-day pass was $230, but each daily badge is $60.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a lot to spit out for 3 of those days, 4 of those days, even 2 of those days.
Mm-hmm.
And not know who all is going to be there as far as the companies. Is Nintendo going to make it? Is Microsoft? Is Sony? How much are they scaling this thing down? How many people are they allowing in there? I know they said it's going to be limited capacity, but they didn't say by how much.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still going to be satellited? You know, is it all going to take place in the convention center since they're scaling back? Or is it still going to be in different venues around the city?
Yeah.
Which is what it became. So,
I mean, this whole pandemic thing has made a lot of companies think about alternate ways of getting their message across without not having to attend a convention. Cost effective. I mean, heck, just stream it from a location. That's it. Small production from your end, and that's all you need.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going this year.
Yeah.
So I will wait until next year to go. But that's really weird. That's I say it's weird. No, it actually makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's been so long since it's that you've been able to just 2-3 weeks out still go get tickets to PAX. Mm. Maybe one of the days hadn't sold out yet, but not all of them still available.
Yeah. You think conventions are getting obsolete, or is it just too early to tell because of the pandemic?
No, I don't think they're getting obsolete.
Okay.
I think there's plenty of them that want to get back to that. Mm-hmm. There is too much money being lost. When people take a trip to go to these conventions and things like that, they budget for merchandise type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they budget for that, and you can also kind of upsell them while they're there, you know, physically. You can haggle better, you can upsell better, you can whatever. But when they're sitting at home, the competition is greater because they don't have your stuff in front of their face, physically in front of their face for them to touch, feel, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that, whatever that effect is that you can do. I don't want to say two people, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
In an actual space, you don't get that one-on-one. Whereas when it's an online type of convention where people are at home watching talks through YouTube or Twitch or something like that, mm-hmm. you still don't have that one-on-one. You may think you do, but it's a lot different. There's too many distractions for them because you have no idea if they're paying attention to you or just keeping you on as background noise.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk to them about one product, see that they're either not interested or that they might be interested, or see what maybe they're coming to your booth wearing already to recommend something else you have that might match whatever their fandom is that they've got or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And that's just one aspect of it. You know, the people who put on the conventions and everything else, they're also losing money as well. Because if you do an online convention, you're not, unless you charge for it, which maybe they do, I'm not sure.
The city, I understand the city also loses money well, because what was that article about South by Southwest?
City, definitely. Yeah, because they had to cancel.
Yeah,
they may not come back.
Yeah.
Because the money that they would make from that would always go towards the next one that they could do.
Yeah.
And if they don't have it there, they can't do it. So I'm not sure if that's going to be coming back or not. Lethal Monger, for Mariners games, you can only get into the stadium if you are vaccinated. They only get about 8,000 per game right now. That's the other thing. There is no rule on this convention at PAX. They are letting anybody in that can come in. All they ask is that if you haven't been vaccinated, please wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no, they're not enforcing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't. It's
generally the same thing with any place like that. We say we ask to wear a mask. We're not gonna card you about your vaccination.
We went into Best Buy this afternoon before we came here, and there was we saw plenty of people at least walking out
wearing masks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not that we thought that was strange at all.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually happy to see it, just for the fact that that lets us know, not necessarily that they have anything or whatever, but they probably haven't been vaccinated, or they're just taking extra precaution, which is perfectly fine. There's no problem in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I know, con crud is a thing.
Con flu's already, yeah, it is, man.
Con crud, PAX, pox, whatever the case is. I've come down with, I think I've gotten sick of these things 3 times. 2 were very severe.
Mm-hmm.
1 was during the whole swine flu thing that was going around, or bird flu or swine flu or whatever it was. I caught that one when I was in Seattle. That was bad. Missed the entire last day of the convention because I just spent the entire time in bed.
And all the money invested in going to this thing. And then
I know. And then I got on my flight the next morning. I was still miserable. And they really took care of me. Got me some blankets and stuff because I had chills and it was miserable. It was miserable. I hated that. And then I got sick in, I don't remember the third time I got sick, but I know the second time or the third time, I'm not sure which one it is, I'm forgetting, but that was in San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
and I got sick for that one too. Again, missed the final day of the convention.
I think the early convention days I went to with Final Round fighting game tournaments, things like that, anime conventions, things like that.
People get sick at those. Yeah.
It's a convention.
Yeah,
basically, it's a convention. It's a whole bunch of people in one gathered area at any given time. So, yeah, that's the thing.
That's the other thing. They're not requiring anybody to. You can just go in there, and then it's a video game convention. That means
a lot of touchy things.
Yeah. You're going to be touching controllers all day. You're going to be touching handrails. You're going to be touching doors. You're going to be touching everything in there that millions of other hands have been touching.
Bring your own stuff anyway, but still.
Yeah. Careful.
Bring your own controller, things like that. So
You can't do that.
No, I mean, you're talking about fighting game divisions. You bring
your own controller. Stuff like that. And for tournaments and stuff, you can do that as well at a PAX thing. But if you're going to be playing the games that are on the show floor,
it's
going to be everybody else doing it. And sure, you can trust them to they're going to wipe down everything after you've done it, that sort of thing, sure. I'm sure that'll get old after a while, or they'll just run out of wipes. Mm-hmm. And so it's just no guarantee. Anyway, we're not doing that this year. San Antonio is the earliest that we might do it, and that's next January. Mm-hmm. That's a possibility. Haven't heard anything about it just yet, so that's a maybe, but we'll see.
I still got to get one of their cinnamon rolls.
Oh, the big one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big Lou's, right?
I think that's the one.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's Big Lou's or if it's just Lou's or Louie's or Louise's or something like that, but I think you're. It's an L. Can't remember what it is. Anyway, we've got to take a break. We're at the top of the hour. When we come back, we got more news lined up for you. And this is music from a game called Danger Scavenger. Not exactly sure what the game is. Has a very neon aesthetic, though. Danger Scavenger, the name of the track, is, well, Black Neon. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Deepest Sword. Deepest Sword. I have no idea. It looked, you know, it had that 8-bit pixel aesthetic, you know?
Yeah, the music gives it away.
Exactly. So it looked like it, and I thought, I know what this music is going to sound like. And sure enough, sounded exactly how I thought it would. Which is good. That's what I wanted. All right. Welcome to the second hour, and let's go to the phones.
Duke.
Oh, hey, Steve.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man. You're playing Wallpaper Engine.
No, that's not a game. I know it looks like I'm playing a game via Discord. It's like a $2 app that you buy on Steam, and it just gives you animated wallpapers for your desktop. That's all it is.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you can basically do custom desk. You know, you can do whatever you want. You want a Batman desktop, you can put a Batman on. You can do, there's all kinds of different, you know, retro animated ones, or you could do like cyberpunk style. So there's all kinds of cool stuff. So when check it out. I recommend it.
Yeah, I was going to say. So when you download it, is it then you got to pay extra for all the ones you want?
No, it's all community like submitted. So once you're in, you're in.
Wow.
There's no, yeah.
I might take a look at that.
What's the name again?
It's Wallpaper Engine.
Okay.
For PC. I might take a look at that.
If you're really into decking out your setup, too, especially when you're idle, it's pretty nice for that as well.
Right, yeah.
It gives you some... Sets the mood.
Sets the mood. When you're not in the room, it sets the mood. You called in pretty fast when I told you we were talking about Steam Deck.
Yeah. My wife said she was hungry. I had to run to Whole Foods to pick her up some food, and I'm coming back right now. But I said, I saw Steam Deck, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I will call in for that.
We just got back from there a minute ago, actually. So I know you left me a comment on my Steam profile as soon as you saw that I had pre-ordered it. Did you put in a pre-order? I didn't look.
I did. I did. So I was getting nervous that I couldn't get one in, but I did get one in.
I was going to say, how long did it take you to get one in there?
About 35 minutes.
Yeah, it took me forever. It took me until sometime that afternoon, late that afternoon, around 5 or so, to finally put one in. Like, it went live at, I think, noon, my time, and I didn't get to put in a pre-order until sometime after 5. We talked about this, but the date that it showed before I clicked the reserve was like quarter 2 or quarter 3 of next year. Was going to be when I would get mine. Did you happen to see when yours would be in the list?
Yeah, there was a lot of debate about this in the COG Discord, too, whether or not that was relevant to when you placed the order or if it
was
just
probably
kind of stock date. Yeah, mine says Q1 2022. So I know it says if you go there, it says order, expected ship Q2. So I don't know how that matters because I don't think you can still order it right now, can you? Is it still open? Pre-order?
Well, I don't know because I already pre-ordered, so it's not going to tell me. It's not going to let me.
I know. I can't see either.
Yeah.
But I had a friend that was able to get his like 2 minutes after it opened up, and his also says Q1 2022. So I don't know if that's relevant to how quickly you got in and or not. But people are really, you know, they're speculating based on the December date that was originally announced.
Yeah, it was, I put in a pre-order for it, and I know people were curious as to why, and I've already explained as to why. By the time it gets around for me to have one, plenty of people will be playing this thing, will have had it in their hands, and I'll know a little bit better about if I want to keep that reserve or I just kind of want to wait for version 2 to show up. Assuming there is a version 2, because I assume you know what Steam's history is when it comes to physical hardware objects.
Yeah, when they get bored with it, it just goes away and they don't really support it.
But it's like it's worse than what Google does.
Is it though? I mean, did your Steam controller stop working after they stopped shipping it?
I would say no, it didn't, but I stopped having a use for it.
Well, I use mine all the time, but I get the. You're right. Valve is not Microsoft, right? They don't have the money for marketing. They're not going to pump this thing up and sell millions and millions and millions of these. And then if there's a hardware problem, they're not going to take it on like they took on the Red Ring of Death, right? Because they spent billions maybe on supporting that problem after it occurred on respinning, you know, the motherboards that they had to release in newer editions. So that's not going to happen with Valve. Valve, you know, we know, what do we have our track record? We have the Steam Link, we have the controller, we have the Index, which is still available and selling, and now we have the Deck. So I mean, my reasons for purchasing it were pretty clear from the get-go. I want to be able to play casual games mobile. I have 1,000 indie games on my Steam account that I've never been able to play because, you know, there's always the next AAA game that I'm not going to play on a handheld. And then there's the people arguing for AAA. Is this thing going to play AAA games? You know, I'm not going to get it because it's not going to play, you know, Cyberpunk at max resolution and max settings. You know, it's probably not designed for that. So I wouldn't expect too much, you know, as far as setting it up on a dock and playing it like you would a regular PC.
Yeah.
But it's perfect for me and those games that, you know, I never get around to just playing like the Telltale games. You know,
I find that a very boring play on a sitting in a chair desktop, but I can see that being a very fun couch game that I already own, and you know, this platform is probably perfect for that type of use, or like any of the retro JRPG games that are on there. Even something as new as like Disco Asylum, I saw a demo playing. Like that seems to be like a really good use case for playing that. But you know, I'm kind of excited because I was really close to buying a Switch. I was really close to buying a Switch, especially after Sony almost closing out the Vita store, because I was like, oh my god, I got to stock up on on Vita games, just things that I wanted. And I'm like, I'll just get the Nintendo Switch and play some of the things that I've kind of wanted to play forever. I'll rebuy them and kind of, you know, pay the Nintendo tax for that. But now I don't have to. You know, now there's something coming out that I guess suits my use case pretty well.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this earlier. I know you didn't hear it. And I hate to kind of rehash the beginning of the show as well, but look, if you took the two systems, if you took a Switch and a Steam Deck, you put them side by side and, you know, brought in consumers, you know, just regular consumers, they would look at that as being, this must be, okay, which one is better, right? They would look at that because they're so similar looking devices. But I just don't feel like that's I don't feel like Nintendo looks at that as any kind of competition. I don't think Valve looks at the Nintendo Switch as being any kind of competition to it. Inspiration, perhaps, for the design, but I feel like the audience is just too different in that regard. We said this, but anybody who has a Switch and is playing games that are on PC but also on their Switch, outside of like, you know, the freebie game type stuff, you know what I'm saying? But they already have, they have their Switch. That's what they're going to play on. They're probably not PC gamers to own, you know, and I'm trying, my mind's not there to give you any kind of actual examples of not free-to-play games that are on both systems. And I know there's plenty. But and so I'm drawing a blank. But my whole point being is that if they have a Switch and they don't have a PC, this is not going to pull them in that direction. If they have a Switch and they have a PC, then it's going to be a little bit different. If they have a PC, then like you, maybe looking to get a Switch, but this kind of fulfills that void.
Let's go back to your first example though, because I think I disagree with it a little bit. If you have a Switch and you don't have a PC, does this appeal to you? And I think maybe I'd argue maybe a little, because you know, as soon as you sit down and get the dock, you've got a PC capable of running, you know, in theory, any game on Steam like a desktop.
Possibly.
This is like the lowest entry point ever for a PC. PC that's also a handheld.
This is true. Now that part actually is true. To market it that way, sure. I don't think that's competition though, because again, if they already have a Switch, unless you know they're going to trade that in, I suppose these aren't going to be sold in, as far as I know, just on the Steam store. So there is no trade in, other than them trading it in and trying to get cash back, which I don't think they do that, that I know of, unless you just sell off your, you know, privately sell off your Switch to get money so you can buy, so you can buy a Steam Deck. If you've already got a Nintendo Switch but you don't have a PC, then you're not going to be able to play probably a lot of what you have on your Switch, depending on what that is. A lot of the times you're going to be buying first party titles that are on your Switch that are not going to be ported over on a PC.
Right.
I don't know. It's interesting. I don't think the competition is there. And I honestly don't know what the competition would be. I don't know that there is any. Because it also doesn't feel like it's being a competitor against the consoles either. But like you said, and that's a good point, I didn't really think about this, owning a PC. That is a fantastic entry-level PC. Even at the high end, that's really, really good.
And it makes a little bit sense why maybe they gave up on some of those Steam boxes or like, you know, that whole
thing. Oh, I remember those. God, I forgot about those. I was thinking about Steam Link and then Steam. What was the controller? Is it Steam Controller? What was it called?
Yeah, it was the Steam Controller.
It was just Controller. But, okay.
But remember, there was like a whole marketing. I think they were even built by other vendors too.
I remember the Steam box. I remember seeing Steam boxes at like E3 or PAX or something like that, walking through the aisles, and they were talking about the Steam. And I remember talking to whatever company I was talking to. I don't know if it was Razer or Alienware or somebody about the Steam boxes that were built, which is basically just a PC. Here you go, PC. It's got Steam on it, that sort of thing, and you could play.
I don't remember what the price point was.
I don't either. I don't either.
I never looked at them.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was either. So, yeah.
The other thing to look forward to, too, is just to see what kind of mods, you know, the crazy internet's going to come up with, or, you know, being able to put Windows on it, just mm-hmm. erasing what comes on it and doing all kinds of crazy
things. Right, we were talking about that. It's going to be fun to see what they can do because it's Linux-based, I believe, and so
right.
It'll be interesting to see what all can be done. They've said that you can't mess with the... With the storage space, you might can expand it, but I don't know that you can mess with it. But then there were some conflicting reports
yeah.
that maybe you have access to the NVMe.
Somebody had a screenshot of like an email that Gabe Newell about asking like
right.
what the M.2 slot was, and I think people are thinking that they can get the low model, just
the
plug
base
in,
model, yeah,
yeah, their own NVMe, which you know. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the same motherboard for all three models. And all the only difference is maybe I think there's like a screen on the high end one, like a glare.
An anti-glare on the high end, yeah.
And then the different size NVRAM or NVMe drives. So yeah, in theory, a company like Valve is not going to have two spins of a motherboard just so that you can't remove the NVMe. Drive, I don't think, but it's going to be fun to open these things up and look.
Yeah. Anyway, it's again, just to repeat before, I want this to succeed only for the fact that I want a version 2. That I want to see this get better and better because I know it can, and I know that it likely will, but that's only if it succeeds.
So what would have made this a no-brainer for you? Like, what's the thing that's holding you back a bit?
Right now, I want to get one in my hands. It's kind of like I did with the Switch, although the Switch has the docking capabilities, and so does this as well. You can dock it and have it on your screen and that sort of thing. But
let me throw out a scenario for you,
okay?
And see, like we start getting some of these in the hands in December. Some reviews are coming out, and it's showing that you can play Destiny at great performance.
Which, by the way, right now you can't until they. I know they're still working on it, but right now Destiny is a game that you cannot play on that thing.
How do you know? What was it? What was the
because it's something with the it's the anti-cheat software. Yeah, because it's a Linux-based system, and games that have to run on Windows, Valve has developed something called Porten, I think is what it is. Porten, P-O-R-T-E-N, or something like that. I can't remember what it's called, but it's something for them to be able to bring those games over to, or to be able to run on a Linux system with like running Windows on Wine or something. I can't remember exactly how it's all. I don't know how it's all in there, but that's what I've read, and I don't remember what I've read. But currently, it will only allow the actual software to run, and any kind of third party software that is implemented into it will not run. On this thing. So a lot of your multiplayer games that have anti-cheat programs built in them will not run on this. It's early yet. It's not even, you know, yeah. We're not even halfway there to getting released. So they've already said that, yeah, we're continually working on the software. So maybe by then they've got it worked out. Maybe by the time it gets around to me actually being able to order one, maybe they've got it worked out. But even then, I'm curious to see how, and we had it on the Steam controller, but I'm curious to see how it feels in this implementation, the thumb track, the trackpads.
Yes.
Yeah, to see how that works. The Steam controller, I thought, did it very well, even though I used it not very much, but I know what I did use of it, it was nice. It was an interesting solution to how that problem was going to work, you know, and how to put that into a controller space. We had had some of that with like the Sony's controller there, but not in a system where this is how you use it to navigate your entire system.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm curious how that works. I'm curious how it feels in the hands. The battery life needs some work, but then again, I've never really been bothered by battery life on any kind of device I've ever purchased. I've just kind of accepted whatever the battery life is, whether it be a phone.
People just take batteries and go, oh, I got a day out of my phone. I should be able to last a day.
Yeah.
And if I can put the screen on, I don't think it should last a day. But yeah, there's a lot of things we still need to learn. And, you know, I'm pretty much set on getting it regardless. But there's not going to be too much. I am curious how, like you said, if Uplay is going to be able to run or some of the games that require those third-party apps, if that's ever going to be supported. Origin's another one.
Well, EGS, apparently you can load the Epic Game Store there on it. I don't know how or how you have to get through it to do it, but apparently you can load that on there. So I would think you could load anything, any other kind of store, maybe GOG,
well,
I guess.
Good news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good news, because a lot of those on Steam.
Yeah, Nabokov fan raises some other questions here. He has a question about RAM, lifetime use, GPU and system RAM, and also heat. That's kind of curious to me on the heat aspect of it as well. He says
I'd be fine with it just running an hour.
Yeah. He says the only weird thing is that it's Zen 2 and not Zen 3. The hardware is already about 3 or 4 years old. The GPU is new. The rest isn't. It's not a major issue, but I can already see issues with something like this being long-term viable. It is low resolution, low demand, but how long will it be sufficient, and how well does it feel in the hand? It's a picture on the web, and I've never seen any Steam hardware in person. Oh, he says the Lethal Migrant says the RAM is new. It's DDR5.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Maybe it's got post packet repair in it too.
I know. I haven't poured over the specs, to be honest with you, because it's so far out that somebody else is going to have all this stuff lined up by the time I get around to actually getting it, because of how far down the line I was able to put in a pre-order. So. But yeah,
anyway. Well, I would like it for Christmas, but I don't, you know, doesn't look like we're getting it unless they're going to surprise us.
What did you, which one did you put in for?
The middle one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, man. Appreciate it. Now go take your wife for food.
All right. I will. Thanks, Scott. All right. See you, RJ.
Later. Now.
And who are we having lunch to? Oh, hey man. I'm sorry. I had your mic off when you apologize.
Oh, okay.
Hey, this is Biloxi Gambler. What's going on?
I thought you was going to go to commercial before me. Aren't you late? Anyway.
Oh, I just saw that. You want to hang on? I can do that and then come back to you.
Yeah. Hey, man, I had a phone problem this week. That's one of the things I'm going to ask you about if I don't forget.
Okay.
And if you have a phone problem and you can't use the cell phone and you can't text or anything, you are used to being on hold. Trust me. I mean, you just wipe out the rest of your day because that's where you're going to be. But yeah, I thought, but that was a very interesting conversation. Anyway, yeah, every time y'all put me on hold, I'm always there on any radio show.
All right, man. Well, just hang on real quick. We'll come right back to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, more of In-Game Chat. We'll take these calls. And here is music. It's from the original. I know we got a remaster that released yesterday for the Nintendo Switch, speaking of. But it's Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. This is called Legend of Skyloft. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Last Stand. Union City is what it was called. That was the Horde music. Just something I found that I could use. Was really where I was looking to go. Let's talk to Biloxi Gambler, who was nice enough to wait on hold through that whole thing. Hey, man.
Hey, hope y'all are doing good.
We're doing good. How are you?
Well, I'm not dry because it rains every day. All of a sudden, we turned Alabama into a rainforest.
Yep, that's true.
And I am sick of it. You need to tell Rich Thomas when you see him on Monday, I'm tired of it. Turn the rain off. We've had plenty. And I'm sitting here, I'm listening to that last conversation, which was very good, by the way, except, you know, I know Crawdad's out there listening, and me and Crawdad are listening to something about ports and twin spinning hard drives, and, you know, just went way over our head.
Right.
And I said, these kids, they are really smart. Because we ain't got a clue what y'all are talking about. But so you haven't said yet who's what everybody's played.
So, oh, no, yeah, we haven't.
Wait. Okay. Yeah. You haven't said it yet, so the betting window is still open.
Okay, yeah,
so
betting window is still open.
Yeah, so I'm going to make a parlay bet. That's three ways. Got to win all three. I'm saying that Scott played Destiny. I'm going to say that RJ played a fighting game, and Wendy played something, a game that's got the name Rain in it. I forget, Heavy Rain or something Rain. And that's going to be my bet across the board there.
All right, so we'll just do this now since you'd like to, so we can find this out. Yes, I played Destiny. RJ, did you play what he said you played?
I played Virtual Fighter 5.
You played Virtual Fighter 5. Wendy, did you play Heavy Rain?
I did. I turned it on.
She turned it on.
I did. I had
did you really?
On. I did. I had. Yeah.
She turned it
I
on.
Turned it on.
Does that depends? So
that counts. That counts. Where's the cashier cage? Where's the cashier cage?
Yeah. That counts. I thought you were about to lose that because I didn't know that she had even turned it on.
I certainly did.
Because I actually played more than Destiny this week, but nothing. I didn't.
Yeah. Well, we'll hear about it. Let me ask you this. So I've got, because you mentioned batteries and battery life and all that. Okay, now I've got an Apple iPhone.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of information on there. I mean a lot. And, you know, pin word, I hate these stupid passwords. Because one place wants capital letters, another place no caps, no spaces, another one wants a space or alphanumeric or a symbol. So all the passwords, everybody wants to do a different way. Well, I can't remember. I'd like just to – our grandchildren will not have this issue. But we have the issue. So I've got all my passwords and PIN numbers and all that kind of junk in there, and plus I've got photos and all that. Okay. Now, my battery is catastrophically failing and in my phone. If I take it to the Apple store, can they back it up and then replace the battery?
I believe it. Now, there was a big...
Well, I got to write all this down first.
Yeah, well, there was a big stink about the battery life for the iPhones, in which case I know that Apple had to issue free battery replacements for pretty much everybody. If you wanted to do that or if you needed to, or if your battery was going, they would offer free battery replacements. I don't know that that is still something that can...
I don't care if it's free. I'll pay whatever it costs. Can they, because I know when they take the battery out, I'm going to lose the data. Can they back it up before they take the battery out?
I believe they can, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they can. That's the problem. I've never done that before, so I don't know that they can, but I'm almost positive that yes. In fact, somebody in the chat room right now says yes, they can. So I'm pretty sure, yeah, they can. I did take mine to an Apple store in Seattle once, and it wasn't this phone that I have now. It was the one prior to it. I was having some weird stuff going on with the screen, and I scheduled an appointment, and it was still under warranty. It was able to be fixed without having to pay anything, and I just had to go in. They took it. They did whatever they did. I don't even know. They may have given me a brand new phone. I can't remember what it was.
But they backed it up, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got the phone back and everything was there. So if I got a brand new phone, then they put everything, they just mirrored the old one to the new one if I got a brand new phone. I don't remember. It was something with the screen was doing a shaky thing or something. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, mine's doing that now, too. On my podcast, it'll do that. And where I mean, you have to hit it just at the right time to click when episode ends. You can do off 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes,
yeah.
But you know, and on and on. But when episode ends, it just gives you just a sliver of it, and it shakes up and down. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just the new update.
Yeah, they'll do that. You've got to take it to either an Apple store or a certified Apple store. Well, what do you have? Is it an iPhone or is it a...
It's an iPhone.
It's an iPhone? Yeah. Yes. Well, take it to an Apple store. Don't take it to Bob's iPhone Repair.
Or Verizon, yeah.
Actually, there is... you could take it to the place you took it, I guess, like a Verizon or something like that. The place that you bought it from, I'm sure. They could probably maybe help you out with that, or they may tell you to take it to an Apple store or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. I know, though, that if you take it there, because I've done it before, but this was back when I was in Seattle. It's the only time I've ever done this, gone to an Apple store and had them repair something.
Oh, Seattle's like the home of Apple.
It is, I know, yeah. Well, I just happened to be there when it was going on, because the closest store for us at the time, this was years ago, was Birmingham. And... Right. I thought, well, there's no way that I can get up there in the amount of time that I have right now before I fly out, get this fixed, and whatever else I need to do. So I'll just make an appointment at a store in Seattle.
Hey, I've been to Birmingham before. Trust me, I'd rather go to Seattle than try to drive in Birmingham traffic.
So, yeah, that's what I did. They got it fixed for me. It was no problem. You can probably do the same thing, you know.
I think it's an East Chase, yeah. Yeah, I think that's where I bought a Mac you know, a tabletop computer.
Yeah.
So I'll go there. So you think they can back it up? I'll spend all day tomorrow writing stuff down.
I think you can call them and ask, or you can show up and tell them, and they're gonna let you know if you can or not.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, that sounds good. Enjoying the show every day as I do that y'all have it on Saturday. So anyway, thanks a lot to everybody, and I'm glad I guessed all of what y'all played correctly.
You did. We're going to go over what we played coming up a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, right. You're running out of time.
We are,
hey,
I know.
Talk to you later, buddy.
Later, man. Bye-bye.
Take care now.
And let's talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Oh, goodness. You there, Chris? You sound like you're muffled.
Hang on. I have it on speakerphone.
That's much better, whatever you just did.
Oh, okay. I was looking in some apps and stuff, but since the last caller was talking about his issues with his phone and he wants to back it up and, you know, have somebody fix it, I've watched several people on YouTube that do an excellent job of that, and I just want to give you some information or maybe get in contact with you, send you a text on Facebook or something, a private message, and give you some of the information. But there's some other options besides the official way to do things with this.
There is, but when it comes to my phone, I'm just like, I'll take it to let somebody else do it. That's something I've yet to dip my toe in, as far as like getting it fixed myself. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of I have a lot of tools that I could use to do that. Back when I built this PC that I have, I went ahead and bought a pretty good little toolkit for not just PC repair, but also phone repair, any kind of tech type repair. And it has a lot of stuff that I haven't looked into to use, but most of it is for like fixing your phone, taking your phone apart, and putting it back together again. I am just a little bit... I'm not ready to do that
yet. I think I've used that before for phones that are like dated, aged, or the carrier that I have has discontinued it. There's still methods and things out there of how to fix things up and keep it going long as possible.
Yeah, man, that's the other thing. Like, I could do that on some of mine, but like, I know one of the ones that I have is the old Silverback iPhone, the very first...
Yeah.
Version. I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do that to that one. I'm just gonna let that one be what it is. Still takes. It can still hold a charge.
Yeah.
And it's clunky and it's big, but it's like, I'm not going to ruin that.
Yeah, my phone's mad. If it still holds a charge and it still works, and I can still hook it up to your network, I'm going to use it.
That OG iPhone. That OG iPhone with that that Edge internet was just so good. Edge internet.
But,
Edge.
Yep.
But anyway, but I've seen, you know, one of the guys that does, you know, is known for doing... working on Apple products and even recovering data off of damaged, you know, water damaged phones and stuff, and knows a lot better. But, you know, he's located in New York City. But there's other options out there and all, and if he can hook up the power cable to it and find a way to do his backups where he can have it on another memory device before he sends off the device, you know, or you know, because they offer options to do things like that too. So there's other options out there if he wants to do some research and look on YouTube, but I'll have to get back with you sometime, Scott, and then send you some of the links to the YouTube channels, and if you could forward it to him, or especially if he's on Facebook, where maybe he could become one of my friends or something, where I could send him some info that way. Yeah, it's a tough thing, but there is other options besides the official channel through the, you know, the manufacturer is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like, you know, if I had a problem with my phone and I looked up a YouTube video on how to fix that specific problem and it showed me a step-by-step thing, I might be brave enough to try it, but...
I wouldn't, because I've seen some of the, you know, you imagine the circuitry and everything, you know.
I know, man. I just don't want to do it. I can't bring myself to do it, so that'll have to wait. But, man, we are running short on time. What's going on with you? Anything new?
Same old stuff, playing more of the things I was playing like last couple weeks or so.
Scarlet Nexus and that sort of thing?
Yep.
Yep.
But anyway, one of the other guys that does repairs, he has a microscope, you know, where you can see the video, and he does, you know, micro soldering, like, repairs traces. So, like, on the circuit board, you know, if there's somebody that pulled up the tracer, you know, heavily damaged the stuff, he's been able to fix it and everything. So you can actually look at his videos and see the work that he does, you know, so... There's other options you can do with some research out there, and then, you know, they offer services where you can mail in your items and fix different things, and you can see the actual work that they provide and do on for their customers. So at least you can have that option if he's listening, you know, to do that if he's interested in that other way to go.
Okay. Well, he's listening. I know he's listening, so he heard that, and, you know. Biloxi, I'm just going to suggest for you to find a place that can do the repair, but if you do have interest in that, just hit me up on Facebook if you got it, or, you know, hit me back, call us back. We'll get some way to get in touch with you so that we can pass that along to you if you'd like to do that. So, Chris, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you waiting on hold like that, and but we got to run, getting to the end of the show here. So thanks for calling, man.
All right, see y'all later.
Take care.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah, I was pointing at you because he had asked you a question, and I just want to make sure you saw it. That's why I was trying to, that weird sign language I was trying to do for you.
Okay.
I know. Trying to get his attention there. We only have a little bit of time left. There were some stories that I didn't get to, but I do want to go over what we played. And let's start with Wendy.
Oh, way to put me on the spot. Let's see. Animal Crossing.
Yeah, but, your Destiny.
No, it's not.
Compared to what the way I play, no, it yes, isn't. It's not.
It isn't.
I would agree. You're right. It's not.
No. I downloaded Lydia.
Right.
Lydia for the Switch. I haven't. I think what remains, as well, right?
Didn't you say you downloaded What Remains or
no,
what?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't.
Gotcha.
No. And I haven't played Lydia yet. I just downloaded it.
Yeah, you just downloaded it. Yeah.
So I haven't gotten it.
You opened up Heavy Rain. We know you opened up Heavy Rain.
I opened Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it brought me back to, what's his name? Jason?
Oh,
yeah. Jason.
Yeah, where you're trying to find your kid?
Right. Yeah.
Press X to Jason.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
I'd be a bad parent because I just left that kid. I'm like, no, not today.
Trust me, you and everybody that played that game got to that point and said, well, we're just going to have to let the kid go.
Yeah, sorry.
Which is exactly what it's supposed to do, I believe. Isn't that how the whole thing unfolds? Like your kid gets abducted?
I mean, you could hit that X button all you want. You're not going to find him. If you found him, it wouldn't be a story.
Right.
So, yeah, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Kid's gone. You got to go find him.
Yeah. Otherwise, you just don't have anything there. So, and that's all?
That's all.
That's it?
That's it, yeah.
RJ, over to you.
Played a bit of
Virtua Fighter, we know.
Yeah, we played Virtua Fighter 5. Played a little bit of that. A little bit more of Grand Theft Auto Online, and it took all of 3 minutes today to get killed by some random player as I was trying to get some movie props back for Solomon Richards in the game. So that happened today. And then, right after that, there was some dude going around killing folks at random. So I ran into him twice. First he hit me with his car, then he backed up and hit me again as soon as I recovered. Destroyed my vehicle and everything. So he was having a grand old time just trolling people today, and I was just one of his many victims that day. So that was the experience through that. Let's see. I also took up some Streets of Rage 4. The DLC came out recently, the Mr. X's Nightmare, which opens up which opens up a training mode and some extra characters to get in there. I've got it downloaded, so I'm going to be able to.
I was going
to
try and find music from that DLC, but I thought it's probably too new that there's any music out there, and I don't understand it enough to know that there might even be brand new music recorded for it. I have no idea.
Maybe something with some remix or something else with those lines. But yeah. That came out. I think the 15th. I want to say the 15th or something like that. That came out, or maybe Tuesday or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe did through that. But I downloaded that, and I'll be able to start playing that in a little bit as well. But other than that, it hasn't been too much beside those titles.
Mm-hmm. For me, yeah, it has been Destiny 2. I still jump in there and play that on most chances that I get, or, you know, like Monday, you know, reset, the whole week resets on Tuesday at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And so Monday, I'd not run my Grandmaster Nightfall, my really, really difficult Nightfall. I hadn't run it. And so I popped in with a couple of guys from the clan on Monday, and we did a run through. I died in a very bad spot.
Surrounded by enemies?
No. The end boss room is you enter the final boss room from above.
Okay. You gotta drop down.
So you gotta drop down.
One way in, that's it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I made it through the first phase of the boss, but the second phase of the boss I died. And for some reason, I know why I died. They did, even though this character doesn't have legs, it's a floating shank from Destiny. It's a floating thing.
It's a big shank.
It still does, apparently, it has a way to do a ground stomp, which is the only defense of most of these enemies, is if you get too close, they do a ground stomp, which shoots you across the map.
Yeah.
If you don't have if you don't have any sort of way to stop that momentum, then the next wall you hit, the stomp will already do damage, but the wall you hit from the force will do damage as well.
So the stomp takes your shield and the shield and a little bit of health.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The impact takes the rest of it. Yeah.
So he stomped me, man, and killed me and placed my revive near the entry point. So trying to get revived was very, very difficult. Trying to get somebody over there to res me was extremely difficult.
Yeah, because you said it was a drop. You got to drop in from above. So it's one way in, no
way back. You drop and the walls are slanted.
Yeah.
So there was...
Yes, one way in.
Yeah, there was some... Like Rogue, who was playing Anthony, he was getting a foothold close to me, and then he had to do a jump to get over to where I was. But it wasn't enough, and so he was because every time he would hit that wall, just boom, slide all the way down.
It's one of the most frustrating things I remember about Destiny was having three different types of jumps for each class, whether you were Void, Arc, or Solar. It was a different type of jump that you had, and you had to get the right one at the right situation. So sometimes trying to pick which one was which is like was kind of frustrating sometimes.
Yeah.
You had the right type of jump for the right situation.
So luckily we had him at a non-damage phase. He was in a protective phase where you have to kind of eliminate all the enemies in the area before he is able to be, you know, fired on again or, you know, actually done damage to.
Right.
So, you know, one of the other guys could just kind of pick off enemies until there was one left and make sure that a second enemy would be there so he could kill that one and kind of juggle back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Anthony could try and over and over again keep trying to res me so that I could be in it for the rest of the fight. Mm-hmm. That extended the time a lot because of that one weird, awkward death. But we got through it, and it was great, and that was wonderful.
Yeah.
So I played some more of that this morning, some more Destiny as well. We're going to run the raid again tonight, and then I'll play some more tomorrow as well. What else did we play? Oh, we started playing a Plague Tale.
Okay.
The rat game.
Yeah.
Now, if anybody, and I haven't looked at a review of this thing. I probably did read or watch a review from when this thing released, so I don't remember everything that was said. But I'm real curious if the entire game is nothing but a escort mission. Some games make that work. Some games don't. This seems like it's going to make that work, but the kid that you're escorting is just really annoying. He doesn't get you into trouble or anything. It's just annoying.
But his speech, his mannerisms, his talk, what?
Yeah.
Sounds like whiny brat.
No, he's not, though. He's not. Well, there were some moments, I think, where he became a whiny brat.
He's very clingy.
Yeah, well, of course he is, because that's... That's the game mechanic, though. Like, if he's near you, he's going to hold on to you. And that's the thing. If you leave him alone, which for some instances, you do have to leave him alone while you go and find a better path for him to take with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you leave him alone long enough, he gets it's bad for him. You can't leave him alone for very long.
But he panics.
Panicky, yeah. Makes a lot of noise, and you're trying to hide from these guys, and so if all it is just an escort mission where there's rats and you have a torch to get from one spot to another, okay, I'm good. I've experienced that.
You're not into that, yeah.
If it was just you making your way around, even if it was just you stealthily making your way around, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But if it's you and this kid stealthily, and it's not Ellie or Ellie whatever. It's not Joel and Ellie, you know. It's not a kid that can take care of itself. You are there to take care of the kid. But again, I'm not. Look, I'm only in what, chapter 4. We just started chapter 4, so I don't want to say anything yet. But if that's what it's going to be from here on out, then I've experienced enough. But I don't think so, because I know there's a listener who's been trying to listen to us talk about, I'm trying to find his name here. Yeah, Robzilla was talking about Plague Tale. And I gave it a go. It was on Game Pass, and it had its update for the visuals and memory and all this other stuff. And so I gave it a go. Mm-hmm. I started playing again Shadow of the Colossus, the remaster, which I never played. I bought it for the Steelbook, of course, but I actually never got around to playing it. So I decided to put that in and started playing that. I think we've killed 5 of them already.
Is it just 5?
I think it's just 5 out of the 16. I think we're at the 6th, which is the snake under the water, the serpent.
Right.
That's where we left off. So I'm enjoying playing that again. The controls are great. The visuals are great. The music's great. The remaster is just an amazingly done job. I'm playing it on PS5, by the way, so it's really, really well done. So that is all that I played. So there you go. And a little bit of more Cozy Grove. I think I got some time in with that, but yeah. Anyway, that's it. We don't have any more time. Thank you so much for joining us in the chat room, on Discord, anywhere that you're joining us. Thanks so much. Don't forget to get our show off of iTunes. We pop it up every Sunday on YouTube. You can watch us there. Subscribe there as well. Subscribe to our Twitch channel. Join us, like I said, on Discord. And, I appreciate everybody that joined us in the chat room and on Discord today. Thank you guys so much. And have a fantastic week. We will see you next Saturday. Music here from Enderall. Enderall? Enderal? Sounds like a pill.
Close enough.
Enderall, Forgotten Stories. See you next Saturday.